Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Air Purifier Thunderstorm. The three-pack is back. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code Howie3. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. If people missed it this morning, we finally got the November jobs report numbers, and they weren't good. They could have been better. They definitely could have been better. They were predicting, I think, 570,000 new jobs added, and the number ended up being 210,000, I believe.
Also, do we know the formula that they use for these predictions? Is it just wishing? I mean, do they
wishing and hoping and praying?
They just throw a dart at the board. Like, how do we come up with this number?
Yeah, they pray.
Show me the formula on this, please.
They just pray to St. Fauci. They turn their pajamas inside out and they stick a spoon under their pillows and they say, please give us good numbers. We know we're doing everything possible to prevent any good numbers from coming out, but please still give us good numbers. So Fox Business broke this news this morning. This is Cut 10.
Here we go. Let's first start with, 4.2%. The jobless rate for the month of November is 4.2%. As for non-farm payrolls, 210,000. 210,000. And again, that is a big miss. The estimate was for a gain of 550,000. So this is a weaker than expected report.
Weaker than expected. You know who else is weaker than expected? That's a nice way to describe Joe Biden. Weaker than expected. Some of us expected it. Some of us have our heads on a swivel these days. We can see these things coming.
But my mind's going blank now.
No one at CNN ever sees these coming. And I love how whenever they get these numbers, they always come down at the time where they're live on TV. And there's always like a few anchors who go, whoa, wow, big miss. They have to pretend to be really surprised, and then they move on from it because they have bigger fish to fry here, Jared. They have to move on to Omicron and how the variant is causing people to loot Home Depots and, you know, how we are all doomed.
Have they looked for the link between January 6th and Omicron? Because I'm just saying, could be there.
I have no doubt. Omicron is like Donald Trump. There's nothing it can't do. But Joe Biden did come out this morning and he made a few remarks. One of them I want to play here, and I had mentioned this earlier. We didn't have the sound yet. This is Biden. Listen to what he's saying here. He's mocking the idea that there's actually empty shelves. In his mind, he thinks that the mainstream media is against him and they're just using the same B-roll over and over again. And that this is not an actual problem. Cut 15.
No, I said that yesterday, and then I saw a couple of your stations put on, you found some empty shelves. They're old empty shelves, but it doesn't matter. But go back and take a look at some of those shelves again, okay?
Okay, wait. So old photos and videos matter now?
It's amazing how as much as Joe can change in this time since he's been in office and the decline has been at such a rapid pace, you would think that he would lose some of that sensitivity, like that glass jaw would maybe mellow out because he doesn't know what's going on. He still manages to hold a grudge like nobody's business. He still manages to be so incredibly sensitive and defensive. And Donald Trump was defensive as well, but Donald Trump had a reason to be. They were making things up about Donald Trump. They spent 2 years on a Russian hoax that didn't happen and no one ever apologized for it. In fact, they got awards. They got accolades. They got invited to parties for hamstringing his administration for 2 full years and more with stupid lies. So Trump had a pretty solid reason to be mad at the mainstream media. I don't know what Joe Biden's reason is. They try their absolute best to never give him a tough question. And when he makes these weirdo jokes that nobody understands, they give him the nicest, like, trained seal clap slash laughs. You would think he was on the set of Full House. Ha 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 ha! He did it again, that crazy old Joe with his jokes. He made it funny. And he hates them. And he says it's an old B-roll. The ego on this man, it's something to see.
The insecurity coming through.
Yeah.
It is amazing that he knows he's a fraud as much as we do. Because after 49, 50 years or whatever, he's been defrauding like this. He still has that sensitivity.
Yeah, and as much as I would play more cuts of Joe Biden struggling, unless there's one, you know what, Jerry, we should play number one because this is one of, do I say this almost every day? What's my pet peeve, Jared? Tell the audience what my pet peeve is.
Joe Biden saying he is Jill's husband.
I hate it.
My name is Joe Biden. I am Jill Biden's husband.
Ugh! Put me out of my misery. Take me out back. Like, this is terrible. How many times is he going to make that joke? It's every day.
We have another good one, too. His old standby sign-off. He pulled that one. But again, it's Joe.
All right, Lincoln.
I promise you that's what's going to happen. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops and keep everyone safe.
May our God... Groups. Protect our croups?
Croups.
Was it like a mix of crops and troops?
I believe it was. Or maybe he thought
May God protect our crops. That would be even crazier.
Maybe he thought he had the croup because he's 1,000 years old. I know babies get it, but...
He did have a very phlegmy cough today. Let's take a listen to that, cut 14.
In partnership with private business and labor, retailers...
Ooh, his voice sounds, I know at first I said it sounded good, and I do think it's an improvement on his regular voice, but even so, it's a bit concerning. We should play him reading a poem, because I see in one line here for the sound cut, it says, Biden, Catholic Faith, Poem by St. Francis. And I think that has all the elements of a golden sound cut. Let's play cut 3.
I tell you what, we're so much ahead of us. As we enter the holiday season, in my Catholic faith, I think there's a prayer attributed to St. Francis. It says, where there is hatred, let there be so love. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. And where there is darkness, light.
Couldn't have said it better myself, sir. Can we quote you on that? Mr. Biden. One thing I wanted to mention here is Joe Biden, he has the ability to overshadow people with his stumbles. You know, they're so captivating. You can't believe what you're seeing. He's the leader of the free world. He's falling up the stairs. He's walking into bushes. It's hard to imagine that this is where we're at, that this is reality. But I don't want to leave people behind, because in the process of playing Joe Biden, we tend to forget the other people who paved the way for Joe Biden. You know, Nancy Pelosi walked so Joe Biden could run. And I feel...
I think you mean jog.
I feel a little... You're right, I do mean jog. Jog with a mask on. I feel a little bad that I've been letting Pelosi slip by. I mean, I know that she's probably heading towards retirement, and we should be at this time...
What's that about?
Soaking in as much... Pelosi as we possibly can, because when she retires, that's it. No more James Corden interviews, no more ice cream, you know, fridge showings. That's it. And I don't want us to be ungrateful for this time that we're living in right now. So let's play. This is an incredible cut. I have not heard a Nancy Pelosi cut this concerning in a very long time. Here she is, the speaker.
House. It's the McGovern bill. It's a stronger bill than the. It is. It's a bill that we could have freestanding, or a bill that is in the Eagle Act that is part of the Foreign Affairs Committee. Mr. Kendrick Meeks No. Gregory, Meek, Bill, Kendrick, we're all very sad about losing Carrie Meek this week, so I referenced her son. But the chairman, Meek's bill and the... in the House, so we will have that. But you see, in a defense in a bill, whether it's in the whatever that thing's called that they have in the Senate, or in a DOD bill, the Senate does not have the right to have a revenue or an appropriations matter.
Got it. I think I understand. My favorite part of that was when she said, see, like it was all going to start making sense. See, the thing is, and then she goes off on a completely different thing that again makes no sense.
Is that, Madam Speaker, is that the thing?
That is the thing. 844-500-4242. There really is.
You know the thing.
There's a lot of cringe stuff today, too. You know the stuff that you watch and you get secondhand embarrassment? For example, LL Cool J introducing Joe Biden. How come, Jared, usually when you have a cut that is described as someone introducing someone else, you only have it once. How come I have LL Cool J introduces Biden 1, LL Cool J introduces Biden 2? Explain that to me, please.
So he introduced Biden, and then there was no Biden, so then he had to reintroduce Biden when Joe wandered out. I'm sorry, showed up for the event.
Let's just play a little bit. I just need a little bit of LL Cool J in my life.
Now, it is my tremendous honor to welcome our literal host, the actual host for this very American celebration, President Biden and First Lady Dr. Jill Biden.
La da da, la da 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 da. And now is LL just standing there?
He's sort of looking around like, what are we doing? What are we doing? And he's trying to think, should I vamp? Should I not vamp? What
you
do I do
to
here?
You have to vamp. You have to vamp. I wouldn't even let this dead air go out there. And okay, so let's hear the second one. Cut 27. This is when he thinks he's getting closer to the real introduction.
All right, good vibes. Good vibes. All right, so we want to do it again. Not the whole thing. You know, you're good. You all stood up, very patriotic, that's wonderful. Yes, you're respecting the office. You're supposed to. Sit down again, one more time. All right? You know? It'll be fine.
Make it end. Well. Why does everything this administration does feel like a high school talent show?
Because that's the equivalent of what it is.
Like, no one's prepared. There's no smoothness to any of this.
It is the best and the brightest. It is a collection of serial drifters and grifters who have gotten by doing nothing, and now that they're in the spotlight, have no idea what... It's like, you know, if I decided tonight, hey, I'm going to learn how to play an instrument, and I'm going to start a band, and tonight I book an open mic, never played an instrument, don't have a band, and I just get there, and I'm like, oh.
Good well, vibes, good
here
vibes.
Here we are, good vibes. Let me strum the bass.
Yeah, it really is cringe. And you have not seen cringe until you watch listen to the Kamala Harris cut we have coming up. A lot of news about Kamala Harris. Not all good news. We'll tell you a little bit about that when we return. The Thunderstorm
Air... The Trap Family Singers. The Family Von Trapp. They're gone.
That is Joe Biden. How many introductions does one man need? The Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack is back. This is their most popular offer. You'll have one for your basement, your first floor, and your second floor. Or you can have one in your kitchen, for example, maybe give two away as gifts. I know a lot of people are hopping on this deal because they want to be able to share the Thunderstorm with someone they know, give someone they know a Thunderstorm, and keep two for themselves or vice versa. So make sure you check it out. A lot of people have purchased this. They're happy they did. And for good reason, these devices really work. They're small. They're compact. They're silent. You can't even hear them when they're on, and they really do keep the air in your home or in your car or in your basement smelling fresh, and they keep it circulating. They do that with a very special technology, and Jared is going to explain it to everyone because he's better at explaining it than I am.
Yes, so what the Eden Pure Thunderstorm does is it ionizes the air around you by releasing ions, which creates a super oxygen, and that gets rid of any allergens or pollutants, odors, things in the air, even some viruses, just nasty stuff that you don't want to be breathing.
Absolutely, and right now you can get this for such a good deal with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. You'll get 3 units for under $200, and you'll save $200. It's been over a year now that we've been talking about the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. People still ask me if it works, and it definitely does. Other air purifiers can cost up to $600 for just one unit, but go to EdenPureDeals.com and click my name. Put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-Pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click my name and use code word GRACE3. We'll be right back with a little bit of Kamala Harris in the news. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Happy Friday, everyone. I can't believe it's almost 2:30 and I haven't used the words Happy Friday yet. I'm so excited for the weekend. I don't know if I've mentioned this on the air, but I'm starting to get into martinis, which I can hear everyone at the same time saying, that's not a good idea. But I think I'm going to make one tonight. My first homemade martini. And I'm going to watch James Bond. I already checked with my British editor. I will be watching Goldfinger with Sean Connery.
Okay. That is an acceptable watch.
You were getting ready.
I was going, yes, the movie, the watch of James Bond, it depends on what you're watching, but that is a very acceptable.
I'm a big fan of the Daniel Craigs. I know that some people don't like them. Maybe it's a girl thing. I am totally on board with Daniel Craig. I find him to be a very handsome man. All right, now it is time. This is one of my favorite news segments that Jared and I came up with when we always were asking ourselves, like, you know, we've got eyes on Biden most of the time. Usually we're looking at the back of his head as he walks out of the room, but we pretty much know where he is. A lot of the times, though, we don't know where Kamala Harris is. And so we have to ask ourselves, where in the world is Kamala Harris?
Freedom!
Tell me where in the world is
Kamala Harris?
Now, today I actually have an answer for you. Kamala Harris was touring an electric bus garage in North Carolina. The bus was inside the Charlotte Area Transit Systems bus garage, and she was riding the bus. She was receiving a tour to learn about electric buses. Does that sound riveting or what? This really does sound like an episode of Veep. You know how she was always getting like the worst jobs during Veep and she'd be so like, ugh, why do I have to do this? That is Kamala Harris's job.
Or the kid actors there this time also on the bus. Was this like a YouTube video or was this?
Well, I heard you
could top secret.
You could see the moon from the bus and she was amazed by the craters. But no, Kamala Harris, big fan of singing, it would appear. We had talked yesterday about how everybody wants to be a singer, and I guess Kamala Harris is included in that. This is Kamala Harris driving the bus. Cut 25.
Everyone get ready.
That's it. Get everyone out. No more questions. You got to hear her say the wheels on the bus go round and round. What more do you people want?
Nailed it, Madam Veep.
She kills it every time. She never disappoints. Although I preferred when she referenced Cheers. I like that better than the wheels on the bus. But hey, you know, I can only be so greedy. I like this little part, though, in the story that I was reading about it. It says Harris's approval rating fell to 28%
in October. You know, everybody knows your name.
Can you believe 28%? How people could not be amazed.
She doesn't even have 28% of her staff who like her.
Well, that's also a good point. I guess some of her staffers are trying to jump ship because they're worried that having her on their resume is not going to be a good look.
Yeah, Simone Sanders, right?
Yesterday. Yeah. Yeah, she's moving
back,
on.
Back to the Bernie.
The vice president said in November, polls, they go up and they go down. Like the wheels on the bus go round and round. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a lot to get to today, and we've been talking about a lot of different cases out there, but I just wanted to point out, I had talked a little bit about Alec Baldwin saying he feels no guilt about the current scandal and tragedy that he's embroiled in, and I mentioned that, you know, even if you don't think you're necessarily at fault, it's still a very human reaction to feel guilt. And I didn't even think enough about it because Janice Dean just put it way better on Twitter. She said, Alec Baldwin says he feels no guilt. Even if he didn't mean to shoot and kill someone, it was his film, his production. And the lack of safety on set is his responsibility. That interview last night was done to benefit himself and to sway public opinion of himself. No one else gets the benefit of the doubt like Alec Baldwin does for himself. And to be clear, I feel terrible for everyone, including Alec Baldwin, who is clearly affected by this. But the victims of this tragedy can't speak out like he can. Yeah, it is true that even if you don't feel like you are responsible for shooting that woman, you are responsible. You're the biggest movie star on that set, and you're the producer of the movie. And there was all sorts of red flags going into that of people who said they're not being careful enough. This will all come out, though. This is not going to be something where Alec Baldwin gets the last word in his interview with George Stephanopoulos. I have a feeling there was a lot of people paying attention to that interview and going, okay, well, this is something we can cross-check. Now, that brings us to the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you buy the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Just for our listeners, save $200 on the 3-Pack through this Sunday. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE3. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Whose arrogance is the most astounding? Alec Baldwin, Dr. Fauci, Andrew Cuomo, or Jussie Smollett?
I'm going to say Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin at 21%, good for second place. Dr. Fauci running away with it at 62%, 14% for Andrew Cuomo, and just 3% for Jussie Smollett.
I just saw a clip of Dr. Fauci calling the original variant of COVID, or the original strain, calling it the Wuhan strain. Now,
was this a flashback or was this?
I believe it was recent, Jared. I have to double check, but if it was recent, you know what that means. Racism, racism. Jared doesn't even need to play the sound.
Racism, racism.
Jared, do you know how many people say that to me now in real life?
That's awesome.
Like in our house, if any story comes out about racism, Will will just start singing, racism, racism.
Racism, racism.
Baxter, you're next with
Grace. I'm glad I've achieved the zeitgeist.
You have. Baxter, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Baxter.
Good afternoon, Grace. So the Alec Baldwin interview with Stephanopoulos, there is something was brought up when he said there that and the sheriff that was investigating the shooting identified that firearm in it's an Italian made replica of the Colt Peacemaker. I believe the company is called Pieta. He identified but it's a modern revolver, and I know that you know because you have Toby on from Cape Gunworth on the time, and I know you're well versed in firearms. And all these modern revolvers have the transfer bar safety system, which I can explain if you don't know. I'm sure you know you've heard about it. Maybe your viewers haven't, but it's impossible for the firearm to discharge with a transfer bar unless the finger is on the trigger. In other words, even if that firearm was cocked and a live round was obviously in it, the only way, if that hammer had some kind of malfunction where it fell, it would not discharge the firearm because it mechanically is impossible for the firing pin to be hit with the transfer bar system. So why would his lawyer tell him that I didn't pull the trigger? The trigger had to be pulled.
Yeah, I don't understand. Thank you for the call, Baxter. Really good point. I don't understand the logic if it's a lawyer telling him this is a good move. But we always have to keep this in mind, guys. This is Alec Baldwin. He's the smartest man in the room. He's the best looking man in the room. He's the richest man in the room. I don't know if he's going to even be taking advice from some lowly lawyer.
Consider the source.
He's his own lawyer. He's the type of guy who walks in and says, I'm going to represent myself. I played a lawyer on TV once and I did a damn good job. So I don't know. Maybe he just thought this was, you know, I don't know what kind of defense it is, but everyone seems to be on the same page, shocker here, that guns can't go off by themselves. And I really appreciated the point that one of those experts made in the New York Post where he said, this is a very dangerous road to go down, to start saying guns are going off on their own. And we will talk to Toby about this on Tuesday. I have a feeling Alec Baldwin is going to stay in the news for a couple more days, so I'm not too worried about it. Now, speaking of trials, yesterday I had such a fun time reading about the Jussie Smollett dress rehearsal. If you missed this, you really should go online and read a little bit about this trial and what the two Nigerian brothers are telling the court. Because they're just laying it all out there.
I think that what people need to hear is just the truth.
I agree, Jussie. And that's why I so appreciated the 4 hours of testimony one of the brothers gave. It was really interesting. He walked through the whole thing, how he had been friends with Jussie. Jussie had gotten him a role in Empire, a stand-in, like fill-in role or something like that. How he had procured drugs for Jussie, allegedly. There was all sorts of elements to this story. And how Jussie had specifically told them, don't take an Uber, you'll be tracked. And then they did a dress rehearsal. They drove around in Jussie's BMW, or I think it was Mercedes-Benz. They drove around in Jussie's Mercedes-Benz, and they scoped it out, and they figured out how this was going to go, like good actors do. I've had a few dress rehearsals myself, and if they don't go well, you don't feel good, you know? The night before, especially, if you have a rough dress rehearsal the night before, it can set the stage, no pun intended, for a bad performance. But everything seemed to work out good for Jussie. And then the day of, they get there, they do the whole scene at 2 a.m, the MAGA hat, the bleach, the rope, whatever, all sorts of props. And the camera's not working. Major bummer. You hate to see that happen. I used to, in school, when I did a radio show, it was on at like 6 a.m. on a Saturday on a college campus. So you can imagine how many listeners I had. I'm almost sure it was just my mom every week. And some days I would practice all week and I would get all this stuff and I would have all this stuff planned. And then we would do the show and we get a call afterwards and the woman would say, hi, Grace, sorry, the feed wasn't working. So, and I would say, oh, that's okay. But it was on the internet, right? No, all the feeds are down. And I would say, is it recorded somewhere? No. And I would think, so I was just talking to myself for 2 hours. No one heard. And you have an adrenaline when you're on the air and you think people are listening. 2 hours of talking to myself. That has to be how Jussie felt when he finished the performance of his life, getting tussled, thrown to the ground, back up, punched again, fights back. And then he goes to look at the tape. Nothing.
Dwight does not play a robot.
He wanted the video to be there. Well, it gets even weirder. This entire trial is like a circus. And Bonchi from Red State wrote about it. It really made me laugh. He said, not only is there a check Smollett wrote to them for their services to the brother, that's one part of the evidence, because, you know, Jussie never learned that cash is king. So he decides to write a check. I wonder if in the memo he wrote like fake hate crime. But there is a video of Smollett and the two men doing a dry run the day before. So the video did not capture the real performance, but it did capture the rehearsal. Yikes. Now, you start doing desperate things, and Smollett's lawyers did just that yesterday, requesting a mistrial and personally attacking the judge. Are you guys noticing this trend? We saw this in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. When things don't go your way, when the case isn't, you know, really leaning in your favor, and so your next move is, the judge is a jerk. It's the judge's fault. He's a racist. He's mean. He's a bully. Well, that's what they're trying now. So what was the request for? Originally, a sidebar was called so Tamara Walker, a lawyer for Smollett, remember that name, Tamara Walker, could request a mistrial based on the judge shutting down a line of questioning, which he found irrelevant. It was. We'll get to that in a moment. Apparently, she is now accusing the judge of physically lunging at her during the sidebar in his chamber. Smollett's lawyer also accused the judge of visibly snarling when he sustained objections. Is snarling... Yeah. Is that something that can get you tossed from a case?
He snarled maliciously and with intent to wound.
Smollett's legal team is making up wild stories about the judge in a trial that is only happening because Smollett made up a wild story. It's absolute art, and I promise you this isn't satire. Here are the details per the New York Post. Again, I'm reading from Red State, but he references the Post here. While the attorneys were conferring with Lynn, Walker claimed he physically lunged at her when she presented the motion for a mistrial. Does anyone believe that?
Mrs. Krivopo and Principal Skinner were in the closet making babies, and I saw one of the babies, and the baby looked at me.
Now, here's the line of questioning. So these judges, they have their hands full because these lawyers get up. They have no idea what they're doing. I can't imagine the level of shock these judges have that these lawyers are even allowed in the courtroom, that they graduated law school. They passed the bar exam. Because half of this stuff is not allowed. We saw this with the Kyle Rittenhouse. The guy was like trying to accuse Kyle Rittenhouse of being guilty because he used the Fifth Amendment, which is not an admission of guilt, according to Miranda rights, which I think are a pretty big deal. But these judges, like I said, they have their hands full. So this judge is questioning one of the brothers and asks if he had called someone a fruity bleep at some point in the past. I'm not going to say the word, not a nice word. He had, but the judge ruled the line of questioning wasn't relevant, obviously, because the brother made an offensive remark in the past does nothing to change the fact that he was contracted by Smollett. One has nothing to do with the other. Because he said something years ago does not mean that Smollett didn't write him a check to fake attack him.
Twitter and Twitter, attorney at law.
So this woman, Tamara Walker, has this line of questioning. The judge says, not going there. I'm paraphrasing here, but that's, you know, how that happens in a courtroom. The judge says, nope, can't go down this road. So instead of just moving on to all the other evidence I'm sure they have in Jussie's favor, that's when Tamara Walker went to the judge to make the request for a mistrial, after which she claimed the judge physically lunged at her. She then started to cry and left the courtroom with her mother, who was there for some reason. Admittedly, I wasn't aware this was a high school mock trial. The rest of Smollett's legal team then made other claims that the judge was snarling at them, again trying to paint him as biased. Walker eventually returned and continued her questioning. That's even more embarrassing to come back. It's like when you're mad at your family and you go upstairs and then you have to come back down for dinner and you're like, I'm only here because I'm hungry. It's not because I'm sorry. This is high school mock trial. That does a disservice to high school mock trial.
It does.
Those kids
used to
try. I
did junior high mock trial and it was nothing like this.
And yeah, and you put in an effort. You know, it was a real performance.
Yes, 808. Acting!
Acting! It's all so absurd. Smollett's legal team clearly wants to throw as much mud as possible into the gears, hoping it gets their client off somehow. But I can't imagine this stuff working in their favor. Judges and the system in general don't usually reward such game playing. I wouldn't even call this game playing. I would call this like Jerry Springer. The lawyer starts to cry and leaves with her mom and then comes back?
I see Jussie cut the same amount of check for his lawyer as he did for his accomplices.
You know, and if he could have just, Jared, if he could have just channeled this creativity into his acting on Empire, the sky would have been the limit for this kid. You know? He's like Lex Luthor. Why did you have to use it for this? This seems to be not helping your career. I don't know. That's just my take on it. 844-500-4242. These poor judges, though. I'm talking about how I need a martini. These guys must be having two or three every night dealing with these nut jobs. We'll be right back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley is your perfect lunch day.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
The only thing stronger than these accents is the love between a man and a woman. Boston style.
What do you want from me, Donna?
I want you to stop treating me like garbage.
Well, when are you going to stop putting jimmies on my ice cream?
Oh, I'll put jimmies on your ice cream when you stop acting like a prick.
Donna!
See the movie that is being hailed as chock full of aerial shots of Fenway Park.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Today's car crossover is brought to you by Tux Trucks GMC, your Fisher Plow distributor in Hudson, Mass. Tux has Fisher Plows for every brand of truck, GMC, Ford, Chevy, Ram, Toyota, Nissan, and Jeep. It's time for a new Fisher snowplow or spreader from Tux Trucks GMC, GMC/Fisher. So visit TuxTrucksGMC.com. Howie Carr, thanks for joining the show.
Thanks. I'm thinking of going to Bereka this weekend.
What Maybe about Braintree?
How about Marblehead? How about Arlington?
Yeah, we had some fun today talking about Boston accents, how he has seen his fair share. Howie, you actually, some people were texting in about the movie Black Mass, and you actually helped with that movie.
No, not they. I mean, they just asked me a couple of things, but I didn't really do a lot of stuff with them.
You got interviewed. I had to drop you off, I remember.
Yeah, I did. I think I did. But they just wanted to know a couple things about Whitey and the triple O's and stuff like that. That wasn't really my thing.
All right, Howie, before I move on to what I want to talk to you about, which is the Jussie Smollett trial, I have to answer a text here. A lot of people texting in asking if I do gin or vodka martinis. I'm very new at this, everyone, but I've started with vodka. I'm not really a gin girl. But you know what? Never say never. Now, Howie, here's the quote I wanted to read from you. According to Matt Finn on Twitter, this is from the Smollett trial. One of the brothers was asked under oath, who was the audience supposed to be? Do you know what his reply was, Howie?
Tell me.
According to Jussie, the media. And I just have to say, talk about a wonderful audience the media was. They ate that performance up.
They ate it up with a spoon. They, you know, what Tucker Carlson said the other night, that Robin Roberts is the best paid female on network television. And can you imagine, I mean, talk about a credulous, brainless interviewer. She just lapped it up with a spoon. And I mean, tell me that after looking at that guy for 5 seconds, you didn't know that he was full of it.
Yeah, I had a feeling just based off the weather, Howie. That was the one thing. And they kept saying he had everything planned to a T. He didn't check the forecast, though. It was pretty cold that night.
When I heard it had happened, they said this guy, and I said, who is this guy? And he's on this show. And what is this show? I'd never heard of the show. I'd never heard of the guy. And Dave Chappelle made the exact same story, right? The same point. I mean, who is a Trump fan?
Hey, can I get a do you know who I am, please? It's Jussie Smollett you're talking about. Howie Carr is coming up next.
What about Boston?